Listening to the devotional, there's a little phrase in there that kind of goes with the story. It says that his soul, David said, his soul waiteth for the Lord more than those that wait for the morning. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in a situation where you just couldn't wait for it to get light again. You couldn't wait for the morning to come. The story I have is about an anchor that I had one time that didn't work out too well. So several years ago, I believe it was 2020, it was the year of COVID, and how most families do as their children grow older and we start to realize that your children might not always be with you, so you decide to take a family trip while all the children are at home. And so we were thinking about this and planning. We were talking about what should we do, and we talked about going out west, and some were thrilled. I don't know if I was totally thrilled. It looked like a big endeavor. Tried to figure out how to do it. Well, then COVID hit around, of course, there in February, March, and things were shutting down. And the more I thought about that, it's like, wow, I don't know how this is going to work to try to take a trip. You have no idea what it's going to be. You know, the restaurants were shut and motels was sketchy. And I was like, I don't feel like messing with it. It's just too much. Anyway, and then of course, I was still scheming, conniving, trying to find something to do, and I came across a lake in Kentucky called, I think it's Jamestown Lake, where you can rent houseboats. And I had seen houseboats earlier in my life, and I thought that would always be something fun to do. And so I started researching it more and talked to the family, and, oh, yeah, this sounds exciting. So you go down, it's a man-made lake. The whole lake is maybe 100 miles long. The main part of the lake is about 50 miles long. And, you load up camping gear, basically, and you get in a big camper on floats. It's basically what they are, 60 feet long. And we drove down there, and we emptied our things into wheelbarrows and garden carts. And then I went and parked the van, and we had to walk down a hill and out the dock. And they showed us to our boat, and we dumped all of our stuff on the boat and showed us how to run the motor. And they said, farewell. They guided us out of the marina, and we went out. And the plan with houseboating is that you cruise around until you decide that you want to stop for the day, and you find a place along the shoreline that looks safe to beach the boat. And you drive towards the shore until it stops. Now, you want to make sure there's no big rocks. Hopefully, it's like a kind of a gravelly or sandy beach. It works really nice. And then you take a rope off the front of the boat, and you find a nice big tree, and you lash it fast. And then you go to the back corner of your boat, and you take another rope, and you go to a 45-degree angle out that way, and you find another big rocker tree, and you tie it fast. And then over on this corner, you go do the same thing, so your boat is kind of locked in against. And then you make supper, and you go out in the shoreline, and you build a fire, and you do whatever you want to. You go fishing. It's actually a fun way to spend, I think it was 4 days and three nights. So the first night we played it safe, found a fairly large open area and able to get the boat in and fasten it very nice, had a nice time there. The next day my son, he wants to go fishing, and he's pretty sure that if we go up in one of these smaller channels where there's a lot more trees and stuff, the bass, they'll be better bass fishing there. So we went up a channel, and I'm going to draw this out best I can. This channel goes back in like this, and there's a lot of these because this is a man-made lake. It's in somewhat of a rolling mountainous region, and so as it fills, it goes up the little valleys. And there's a lot of, so the main part of the lake's out here. So we bring our boat in, and in this particular inlet, it's a little bit steeper banks. So it was a little more difficult to find a place, but we found a place and were able to turn this rig in here. And I would say the boat was probably maybe not quite halfway across. But it's kind of tight in there. And now, of course, the other thing that's very keen in my mind is that I'm responsible for this machine. And if I break anything, I have to pay for it. And I don't feel like having to call for help. So it's a big ordeal. Of course, everybody's having fun, but Dad's all nervous, all right? So we find a place, and we pull in, and we run a rope over this way, and we run a rope down that way, and we lash fast to a tree there, and the sun goes fishing. And it's a warm June day, and we had nice weather most of the time. But that particular afternoon, I look out this direction, which is west, and I see the sky getting dark. It's like, ooh, okay, we're going to have a storm. So wait. All right, well, it's getting closer. And I was like, Carl Bear to the boat, and we all get in the, we're at the boat there. And sure enough, after a while, it's darker, and it's getting closer. And all of a sudden, the wind starts to pick up. And then the wind really starts to pick up, and the wind is blowing this direction, okay? And, of course, everybody's having fun except Dad, because he's watching, and he's nervous. And I'm in there, and all of a sudden I realize, and it starts to pour. It starts pouring rain and wind, and I'm watching. And I look out this direction, and I realize that the tree that we had chosen to tie our rope fast to was a fairly small tree, because there wasn't a lot of good options, and we thought, well, that's probably the best option. That tree, which used to be this way, is now out like this. And part of its roots are coming out of the bank. And so my first instinct was like, run, grab the rope, tie it fast to something else. So I'm out over the front of the boat, and I'm running towards it, and I'm looking, and I'm saying, there's no better options. That's all I had. And this rope is starting to get slack. Starting to go, like, instead of tight like we like it, it's starting to go down. It's draping in the water. And I'm like, if that rope lets go, this whole machine is going sideways, and we might be running the we might be hitting into trees, we might be hitting into rocks, the propeller's going to run ashore perhaps. So thinking really fast, I jump into the cabin, and I start the motor, and I turn the motor the opposite direction and rev it. But not too much, because I don't want to rip that rope off. So I bring the rear end around till that rope's tight. And, you know, then we let off a little bit because we don't want too tight. And it goes back and the rope slides. So back the other way. And that's how we spent the next, 10, 15 minutes riding out the storm. After a while, the storm stopped, went away. I was like, we're getting a better place to anchor. My anchor didn't work. And it was kind of late in the day I wanted to get out of there and go find another place to sleep for the night, but it just didn't work out. So we spent a very nervous night. I didn't know if there was more storms coming. I still didn't feel like we had just a terribly good, secure place. And I was as one that waited for the morning. And the morning came, and we pulled anchor, and we got out of there. Our soul is anchored in whatever we believe in. And we never know if that anchor is going to hold until the storm comes. And the problem is that when the storm comes, it might be too late to change anchors. I'll leave that challenge with you tonight. Our soul is anchored in whatever we believe. Tonight's message is called Truth Matters. And I want to begin with another story, but it's a story you know. I wrote it in my own way. And it goes like this. The convict stood, head bowed low. A nervous ruler tapped the arm of his throne. Many a case he had presided over before, but something increasingly unnerving was different about this one, and he could not place his finger on it. Through the window, the cries of the angry mob rang in his ears. In his head, two opinions raged. The accusations of the crowd clashed with the growing evidence in his own mind, which was pointing towards the innocent of the man that stood before him. Grasping for some sort of foundational assurance of his own conclusions, he asked the accused, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Slowly the man lifted his head and replied, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice." Truth. There it was again. It rang in his mind. Truth. That which was his frazzled mind was screaming to get a hold of it, but yet it hung so evasively just out of reach. He could not quite grasp it. "What is truth?" he cried. Spat possibly more in frustration than out of the true sincerity. He arose and went outside to face the crowd once again. And that's the story of Pilate and Jesus. And Jesus said, I am come that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate asked that question that has rung down through the ages, what is truth? And I think all of us at some point in our life have asked that same question, what is truth? And it hits us in many different ways. Maybe we read the news and say, you know, I wonder, did Donald Trump really start that insurrection on January 6th? And hundreds and thousands of dollars are spent trying to figure out whether he did or not. And he knows if he did or not. There is a truth somewhere, and all of us stand around and say, what is the truth? Did he really try to overturn the election, or was he just blowing off at the mouth? In fact, do we actually know what he ever said? The news said what he said. What is truth? Supposing somebody took 2% of your life and put it on national news, what kind of a person would you be? What is truth? I read a statistic one time that said 47% of statistics are false. Now, what about that one? Child A accuses Child B of not telling the truth or using bad language. Child A says, yes, he did. Child B says, no, he didn't. Then I say, somebody lied. What is truth? I don't think anybody likes me. What is truth? Is it really necessary to wear a covering? What is truth? That church, they don't, and they're Christians. Is divorce really that bad? Do we have to be a separated people? Do we have to be so weird? Do we have to be so different? If that person... Okay, so but we can't act like them, but yet they can act like that and be okay. What is truth? And so the questions rage on. And we rationalize things in our minds. We say, I wasn't really lusting. I just saw it. I just looked, but I didn't lust. What is truth? When we study nouns, we study that some things are concrete and some things are abstract. And the abstract things are just that, they're abstract. It's really hard to just, like, we can't go and say, there. It's a solid songbook. That's concrete. But truth. Is there any standard of truth? Is there a truth? And we as Pilate cry out, what is truth? Well, tonight we can know what truth is. Number one, there is a truth. Actually, there is truth. Abstract as it is, there is truth. We have to understand that. Because God is truth. Tonight's message title is Truth Matters. God is a God of truth. The interesting thing, I have a number of verses here to say that God is truth. But let me ask you something. Would one verse be enough to say that God is truth? We all say that the Bible is true. And if you all know that, then I'm going to stand here for the next 40 minutes to try to convince you that it is that. And I'm not sure why I need to if you already believe that. And if you don't believe that, you might still not believe it till I'm done, because who am I to say? It's a very interesting dynamic that God is truth. And I don't know that we can always prove it. There's a part of that where we just have to say, I'm going to believe that. It's a huge step of faith. And we're never going to quite 100% know possibly until we're actually on the other side. But that's what God wants. God doesn't want somebody that has it all figured out. Because if we all have it figured out, then we don't need faith and we don't actually need God. Then I have become my own God, and I have become settled in myself, and my anchor is within myself. God is the basis of truth, because God is truth. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Psalm 33, verse 4, For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Psalm 43:3, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Psalm 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Even men have recognized this. Daniel 4:37, after God had dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar came forth and he said, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar got to the point where he understood that there is a God, and that God is truth, and we don't mess with it. He will do whatever he wants to do, and that truth will stand. I don't have to tell you today that truth is under attack. I think we would all admit that. And the fascinating thing about truth is that it really needs no defense. I don't know if we can adequately compare it to anything, but I go back to thinking about the first time I was out west. And I think where it really struck me is when we went to the Grand Teton National Park and we drove in there and we went by a lake, and I got out and I was standing there, and there's something, I don't know how to describe it. When you just look up and there's this mass of stone and dirt, the mountain goes up and up and up and up. And it's larger than anything I ever saw before standing in front of me. And what's fascinating to me is that has stood there, just quietly, not saying a word, for at least 4,000 years. I think they were created in the flood. And there it stood. People can walk up to it, and they can say anything they want to about it, and it don't change anything. It's just there. Just like looking down at minute man. And that's how truth is. The world around us clamors and cries and screams and yells, and truth just stands there like a parent looking at a child. And it's like, when you're ready to listen, I'm ready to work with you. That's truth. We could take the arrows of criticism and arrows of whatever and sling it at it and throw the firebrands up on the mountain, and it would bounce off the rocks, crash down to the bottom. Take a rocket and shoot it at it, and bang, it'd bounce off. And that's truth. That's the God of truth. Thinking of God as the omniscient one, the all-powerful, the all-knowing. Jesus is also truth. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about Jesus. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Jesus himself said when praying to the Father in John 17, he said, Sanctify them through thy word is truth. Since Jesus is the Word, Jesus was in the beginning with God. John says the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. The Word is just simply the revelation of God himself and God's will and God's characteristics. We have the written Word this evening, and we have Jesus, the Word, and it's all the same. It's just simply like, this is God. Here it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The world's greatest philosophers, the greatest scholars can can sit together and form a think tank and scheme and connive and come up with a system. Outside of Jesus Christ, it's nothing. This is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. The Holy Spirit himself is also truth. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, the Spirit of truth. And these all agree. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all working together, all testifying of the truth. And we can know tonight, here is the truth. Now, what's the opposite of truth? Many things in life have opposites. We're familiar with light. It's light here in the building. On the other side of the window, it's dark. God ordained that from the very beginning. The Bible tells us in Genesis that he divided the light from the darkness. And darkness is nothing but the absence of light. John 8:44, Jesus talking to the Pharisees, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Like I said, God in essence created darkness. In fact, there's a verse in Isaiah that says, "I create darkness and I create light and I create evil." And people often wonder, well, how does God create evil? And we somehow try to pin blame upon God because, look, he said he created evil. I guess he could do that if he actually wanted to. He's God, right? He created it in the sense that in creating righteousness, the anti-part of it is evil. And so we could say tonight God, in essence, created lies. Because God created truth, and the absence of truth is a lie. Sure, if you will. Satan went into that dark corner and claimed it. He's a liar and a father of it. He became the father of it. He took the lie and promoted it and made it his default setting, just like God's default setting is truth. In fact, the Bible tells us that God cannot lie in Hebrews by two immutable things that God, which cannot lie. It's impossible. I think it actually says there in Hebrews, in which it is impossible for God to lie. He can't do it. Now, Satan's not quite like that because Satan can actually tell the truth. If he wants to. That's what he did in the garden. He took a little bit of truth and mixed it with his lies and presented it, and it was deceptive to Eve, and she took it. So that is the basis of truth. Why is that important? Because God is a God of truth, and if we're going to serve him tonight, we need to be people of truth. Truth matters with God because God is truth. Second part of the message, truth matters with myself. Truth matters with you. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2, a psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. David's asking the question, who can come into the presence of God? Who can have a relationship with God? And then he lays out a couple of requirements. And one of those things is that somebody who tells the truth in their heart. So we understand from this that I can think truth or I can think lies. Truth is not just something that is out here, but it's something that's right in here. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. There's a couple reasons that truth matters with myself. We brushed into this passage one of the other nights, I believe. But I want to point out a couple of things here. thinking about how I, what do I do with the truth? I'm going to read 5 to 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's the first thing that happens. He lists three different things here as regards to what we do with truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So three things. Verse 6, he says that we lie. If we say that we have fellowship with God and go about walking in darkness, in other words, if we're talking one thing and doing another, we're liars. And we touched on that last night, I think it was, where we cannot have a relationship with God that we claim to have pure and true, and then our horizontal relationships aren't working out. It just doesn't, the two don't fit together. Verse 8, we deceive ourselves. It is possible for me to think that I'm on the right path and be totally wrong. And he says, this happens if we say that we have no sin. I don't need salvation. I don't need God because I don't have any sin. And we've deceived ourselves. We'll get to the point when the storm hits and the anchor will pull out of the bank, but it's too late. The ship will wreck. And then verse 10, we make God a liar. Now, that's a figure of speech because we can't make God a liar. But that's in essence what we're saying. I haven't sinned. God, you're lying. Because God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're taking that and we're turning it around and saying, no, that's not true. God must be a liar. And we can do that in our hearts. Truth matters with myself, number one, because it is necessary for salvation. We talked the first night about confession. Confession is identifying with and admitting the truth. Confession is nothing more than saying, you're right. The Holy Spirit comes to us and convicts us, and we have a choice. I think all of us probably understand a little bit what that's like. Grappling in our minds, did I really do something wrong or didn't I? And we can go about justifying ourselves. We can go about smoothing it out and say, well, I didn't really mean that. And I don't think it, you know, and our minds are very good at just really smoothing it all, glossing it over, make a nice, shiny image, something to look at. But the Holy Spirit said, you're wrong. And when I think we all, a lot of us anyway, know what it's like too to say, I was wrong. And the freedom that comes. Why? Because we've just accepted truth. Jesus told also there was some Jews that were believing, and he told them, I think I had that written down here somewhere. No, here it is. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth brings freedom when we're ready to accept the truth and identify with it. It's just like that little child, and the parent questions him out, did you do thus? No. I remember one, I don't know which one of our children it was, but I was fairly certain they did something, and no. Okay. I wasn't 100% sure, but, well, let it go. Boy, but they were miserable, though. And you could just see it, like they weren't, until finally the truth came out, and it was dealt with, and they were free. Truth makes us free. And we cannot have freedom until, right, like, God, you are right. Verse 9 in our reading right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's how we come to Christ. That's how we come to God. That's how we go through Jesus Christ. We get on board with him, say, God, I'm ready to go with you, Jesus, whatever you say. And this is very important because it is possible for us to continue fighting against the truth and deceive ourselves. First, 2 Thessalonians talks about God sending people strong delusions that they should believe a lie. And he's talking there about people who continually spurn salvation, who continually are against the truth. And after a while, it gets to a place where God says, sure, go ahead. And that's a dangerous place to be in. Because if you don't understand that you have a need, you're never going to work to try to meet that need. Your rope is tied to the little tree in the tree bank, and you think it's all okay. And you go about fishing or doing whatever, and the storm comes, and it wasn't good enough. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Truth matters with us because it's necessary to keep us on the straight and narrow way. It is possible for us to start out right and gradually grow cold and slide away and gradually begin to accept things. 20 years down the road, we wake up at a spot where we just never thought we'd be. It's naturally possible for us to do that. Ephesians chapter 5, not going to read a lot here. Verse 3, he starts talking about a whole list of sins and evil, fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this know, that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And then he says this in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What does he mean, let no man deceive you? It's because it's possible for people to, well, we start to water down the truth. And things that you and I might look at here and say, well, that's blatant sins. There's people that say, well, you know, we have to love everybody. You know, and I think God, Jesus loves everybody, and so we start to accept people, and we can't, you know, hate the sinner. And after a while, sin doesn't mean anything. And the truth begins to become watered down. He said, let no man deceive you. Truth is important to myself because without keeping ourselves sharp and what is the truth, staying in the Word, understanding what God's Word is, someday we'll find ourselves, whatever. And he's saying these are the things that the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience for. And we find ourselves maybe mixed in and involved more than we realize. Third thing that truth matters for ourselves, it's necessary for our emotional and mental health. And this is maybe a little bit of a side note, but truth is important in our own mind. Just on a daily level. Philippians 4:8, very common verse, says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, he gives that whole list there. But the very first thing, whatsoever things are true, he says, think on these things and the God of peace shall be with you. What we think matters, and there's lots of scientific research to prove that our thoughts produce emotions and they're a driving force in what our mental and emotional state is. David understood that. The person that's going to abide in God's holy hill needs to speak the truth in his heart. We can go to the story of Elijah, and we know that story. After on Mount Carmel, he went down, and he heard that Jezebel was after him, and he fled. And God met him twice, once under the juniper, well, the angel came under the juniper tree, and then God met him at Mount Horeb. But there's two lies that Elijah told himself. One was under the tree, and one was at the door of the cave. The one under the tree, he laid down, and he said, God, I'm done. Let me die, because I'm no better than my fathers. It wasn't true. He had just walked off a mountaintop where he called fire down from heaven, burned up, I don't know how many gallons of water and steers. And everybody cried, the Lord, he is the God. The prophets of God turned and chased the prophets of Baal and killed them all, or most of them. And you're not better than your fathers? It's not true. And then he went on. He went to Mount Horeb. And he stood there in the door of the cave. And God said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I've been very jealous of this and this and this. And I'm the only one left. Another lie. God said there's more than, what was it, 700 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. But we find ourselves in those positions. Try having a week of revivals. The untruths come. Your message is just, there's nothing to it. It's kind of empty. And then we say the devil. Well, the devil is only an angel, and I'm not sure how many people he can attack at once. I think we mislabel it sometimes. Sometimes it's just our own carnality and our own flesh. And we get in these ruts of telling ourselves untruth. Nobody likes me. I'm ugly. I'm this. I'm that. And we drive ourselves down into all these little pits. God is a God of truth. And if we're going to be people of truth, we have to act like it. And I need that. It's hard. It's really hard. Moving on. Last truth with other people. God is a God of truth. If we're going to be God's children, we need to be people of truth. And that's going to affect how we relate with other people. I don't have a lot on this. But we are tempted and we are so easily influenced to be dishonest people. Why do we tell lies? Ever stop and consider that? Why are we dishonest? Be a couple reasons. One is to impress people. We know what we think we know what impresses people, so therefore we endeavor to try to be something that we think others will look highly to. And we end up being dishonest in that. We do it to save our reputation. We do it to make an extra dollar or to save some money. Or maybe it's a shortcut. We might do it to try to save a relationship, to keep from hurting feelings. And we do it in different ways. Probably the easiest way is, and the way Satan likes the best, is when we just so do it. It's like, well, it's just... We know better than to go and do the outright lie. We know better than to outright steal. We'll stay away from that. But we start to blur the line, and we start to get into that gray area a little bit. Ephesians tells us, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Looked at that last night. We have relationships, and we can't have relationships unless we're honest people. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight in his delight. And it's so hard. We get in business, we work, I know what it's like, and it's like you want to cut corners on your costs. I run it, like, I do a bit of design work, and so there's companies where you can download photos and pay a little royalty, and then you can use the photos in a project. And depending what you're doing, you need to buy an extended license. Okay, so you can download the photo itself for maybe, oh, I don't even know, $20, $30, well, maybe even cheaper than that. But depending on what you're using it for, they want you to do an extended license, and that's like $180. And that bites into your profit. And 9 chances out of 10, no one's going to check up on it. And you're faced with that test, like I want to buy a pickup too. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Thou shalt not bear false witness, speaking honestly about people. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, Romans 12:17. God is a God of truth. And we claim to be his followers. We claim to have been born again, born of the Word. We claim to have the Word within us. Are we people of truth? Are we men and women of truth? Are you being real with the truth of God's Word? Or is it starting to get muddled? Is society wearing off on us where we're not so sure anymore? We're not quite sure if we're ready to stand up and say, no, that's sin. Yes. The transgender, that whole thing. Yes, it's sin. No one's quite ready to do that. Everybody's like, well, you know, are we ready? Do I tell myself the truth? Am I real about the struggles that I have? Am I real about the times where I sinned? Yes, I sinned. I said, well, I struggle with this. When does a struggle become a sin? And it's comfortable being in the gray zone. It really is comfortable doing that. But freedom comes through truth. Am I honest with the people around me? Am I a person of truth? The verse in closing, and there shall in no wise, Revelation 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the holy city. That's the New Jerusalem. I think we'll have a verse of invitation tonight. If God lays something on your heart, make your need known. Are we people of truth?